What's going on, everybody? My name is Steve Oatley. This show is called Freight Broker Live. It is the one and only talk show run by me, a freight broker, someone that actually works in the industry every single day. I know a lot of people get on and they make shows and they talk about stuff, but they don't have the experience. They're not seeing it the same way I am. So it's a little bit different, and it's one of the reasons why I like making these shows and just talking about the industry. Today, we've got a big show. We're going to be talking about freight tech and the advancements in tech and how companies now, it's kind of spawned off from yesterday's article that I wrote, but just how we're going to progress in this time of whatever the hell you want to call it, pandemic, you know, mayhem is kind of what I'm, you know, calling it, because it is. You know, you have some outlets that are saying contrary things. They're saying, we're at the bottom, it's going to rebound. And then, you know, same article, same time, same day, are saying, the worst is yet to come. And because nobody knows, nobody understands what is going on with this market right now. This show, you know, I go live at 2 o'clock every day. Typically, occasionally I do a late show if I have technical issues. Like yesterday's show, I had some technical issues during the day. And then even during the show, we had still some issues. Hopefully today's show is okay and there's not a big delay. I do have a contingency plan just in case. If I need to. This show is sponsored by Ascent TMS. And, you know, rather than me say it, they made a nice little video. So let me show you guys this video here.
Aren't you tired of your outdated server installed TMS? Are you stuck with a software that looks like it was developed when the Matrix movie was popular? Well, Ascent TMS is here to bring you to the actual future of TMS solutions. You can literally get started in less than 15 seconds. Ascend TMS is one of the only true cloud-based TMS softwares on the market. While other softwares can take weeks or even months to implement, Ascend TMS just takes a few moments. See, we actually timed it. And what about features? I think we have you covered there. Here at Ascend TMS, we're so confident you'll make your business more efficient and profitable in your first 30 days, we give it to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today at thefreetms.com.
Yeah, so that's Ascend TMS, the sponsor of the Freight Broker Live show every single day. It's I'm excited to have them on for one, because like I said yesterday, I'm a very big believer in Ascend TMS in general and just the software. The more I talk to Tim, who's actually coming on the show later, not really to plug the software as much because I don't want the show to be an infomercial, but just to talk about the market and talk about the industry and talk about, you know, whatever the hell he wants to talk about. But Ascend TMS is really a full-fledged TMS system. So anybody that's looking for a TMS or anybody that's looking for a change, and you guys need to look at the software. Plus, they give a free 30 days. So there's no risk. So just do it. Anyway, so we're going to get started with the news and everything that we normally do. I've covered Smithfield Foods pretty much. You know, I've written quite a few stories, and then the story got picked up by everybody. A lot of other people, everybody's heard about the meat shortage or the possible meat shortage. It's been on every single news station across the United States. It was on our news, you know, almost on repeat this morning here in Florida. And it all stems from an article, well, not from my article, but it all stems from a comment that the Smithfield Food CEO made, where basically they've had to close this facility. This facility in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, is the largest pork processing plant in the United States. They, and just to put it in perspective, they process 4 to 5% of the nation's pork over a course of a year. It's a massive complex. They have 3,500 employees that work in this location, processing meat and getting it ready to be shipped out. They've had to close. When I originally wrote the first article, they had 80 confirmed cases. Then they closed for cleaning, and then they were scheduled to reopen. I wrote a second article after the governor of South Dakota asked them to just close the facility because there was even more cases. At that time, there were 238. This is like a week apart. And then since then, as of this morning, they have over 430 cases of employees that worked at Smithfield Foods that now have tested positive for COVID. That is a really crazy percentage considering they have 3,500 employees that work in the location. To have nearly 500 people that have tested positive in this one location is pretty crazy. Smithfield Foods came out and made a very strong statement. The CEO, his name is, let me find it, Mr. Kenneth Sullivan. He made a statement when they closed the plant, and it It was a very strong statement. He said the closure of this facility, combined with a growing list of other protein plants that have shuttered across the industry, is pushing our country perilously close to the edge in terms of our meat supply. Now, there's been other people, you know, other college professors and supply chain buffs that say, hey, no, not so fast. We got a lot of meat. Farmers, even some other meat packing companies, have all said, not so fast. We've got a lot sitting in surplus. We have a lot, you know, in storage. We have, you know, it's not going to be that big of a deal. But the thing is, it's not that one location. You know, the Cargill plant has closed Hazleton, Pennsylvania, after 130 positive, presumptive positive tests, and one person has passed away at that facility. JBS, which is another big meatpacking meat processing company, has had to close Greeley, Colorado temporarily, as 43 people have tested positive, 14 of which are being hospitalized and two have already passed away. Smithfield Foods, obviously we talked about this, but Smithfield is big and they have 30 different processing plants across the United States. So that it could turn into a much bigger thing. And then Tyson, of course, we've heard of delays at Tyson Foods for quite a while. We had a viewer that called in a couple of weeks back when this whole COVID thing started. And he said that he would experience a 4-day wait, 4 days of detention, paid detention, mind you, but 4 days just to get loaded with a load out of, I believe it was Georgia, out of a Tyson processing plant there, a reefer load. So it's interesting to see what's going on. And as I was on Fault Lines this morning, which is a terrestrial radio show, and I was talking about the supply chain because they brought up, you know, produce. Produce is getting hit as well, especially the, you know, the bulk produce, you know, larger onions and watermelon and whatever used in restaurants, and eggs. There's even, you know, eggs. And I mean, I've seen so many different articles. There's coffee makers that only sell their like K-cups or whatever, the C-cups, whatever those things are called. They sell those to hotels, except they're not allowed to sell them to consumers. But now they have a surplus because hotels aren't open. So they're, you know, trying to sell in bulk to consumers to try to keep their businesses open. Milk, clearly, we've seen it all over online. They've been dumping milk left and right because, again, schools are closed, businesses are closed that would consume those goods. It's a big issue. David Quackelbaum said Smithfield was bought by China several years ago. Yeah, I know. I mean, that's the news. To be honest, it's not really relevant in terms of this conversation. And the reason why I brought Smithfield up again is because the same CEO that said, hey, listen, we may have some big issues coming on. They also wanted, because a lot of the press was talking about, hey, so many of your employees have gotten sick. Smithfield this morning, or yesterday actually, they announced $100 million in bonuses for employees. And these are specifically for employees that are for employees who miss work and due to COVID-19 exposure and diagnosis and will receive the responsibility bonus is what they're calling. Our nation's workers, 40,000 of them who are Smithfield team members in the United States, are fighting COVID by embracing the responsibility to safeguard America's food during these unprecedented times. And they're rewarding their employees for doing their job, which is phenomenal, especially when they're going to be suffering. People aren't going out and buying a bunch of stuff. One of the things that's interesting is the news said it this morning, and I said it on the morning radio show that I was on as well, is a lot of the media and a lot of the attention to this issue, you know, everyone's wondering, are we going to have a meat shortage? Are people going to be going out and you know, buying up, stockpiling the meat, which is what we do anyway. I'm a power lifter, so we buy a crap ton of meat every week when we go out. Are they going to start rationing it out so you can only have 1 pound of hamburger, 1 pound of turkey, and, you know, and keep going, 1 pound of, or, you know, one package of bacon? Who knows? But the media is pushing it, you know, pushing that narrative. Today, this morning on news, it was on incessantly. And I'm talking like every 5 minutes. They had that, and then they had, you know, that Obama endorsed Biden, and then it was back to, are the shelves going to be empty? Stay tuned. And that's how the media was portraying it. And it almost seems like, okay, is that going to be the next run? Maybe they're doing it to try to free up some damn toilet paper because we're down to like 5 rolls here, and we can't find it. My wife went to Walmart because they broke her phone. She broke her screen, so she brought her phone to Walmart to have them fix it, and then they ended up fixing the screen but breaking the earpiece. So she had to go back today to get the phone fixed, which they couldn't do. And mind you, this is $700 iPhone 10 or 11 or whatever the hell it is. But so there was no toilet paper there, of course. It always seems that way. Here's a cool story that, you know, I like to cover the good in the industry. So I don't know if any of you guys saw this story. Everybody should go to the website, find this story, and share it out on social media, because this is a trucking company offers a helping paw to aid COVID-19 response. It's a pretty interesting story. So a small little trucking company out of Maine, Biddeford, Maine, I don't even know if I said that right, called Brown Dog Carriers, is basically, they've launched this, a helping paw, and they're just helping and delivering products for good. The company is launching a helping paw to get donated items where they're needed anywhere in the state quickly at no charge. Brown Dog's president, Greg Morin, told Freebrook Live. It's very cool. Now more than ever, people are relying on truck drivers to transport food, water, and other essentials to stores and medical facilities in the front lines of the COVID-19 response. So we're doing everything we can to keep trucks rolling and shelf stock while maintaining safe driving standards and social distancing to protect the health of our team. And, you know, a lot of people do it. You know, I was kind of doing the same thing. I was thinking about it recently, if there was a way to get masks, because I got like 6 truck stops right up the street. It would be interesting if I could get a bulk load of masks and just go set up shop at those truck stops and hand out masks to some of the drivers, because where else are they going to get them? Truck stops aren't giving them out. You would think that Pilot or Travel or Truck Stop America, whatever the hell at TA or Loves, would just send, you know, would order a bunch of them and provide them to their drivers as kind of like a thank you for, you know, saving the world kind of thing. But seems that that's not a big deal. But this company said, you know, they've been trying to figure out how to help with the COVID-19 crisis, and they were looking for ways to partner with companies that have medical supplies and equipment, and they're willing to deliver that around the state for free. And they're asking other trucking companies to do the same. So you guys, everyone should go, and even if you just send the guy an email and say, listen, you guys are awesome, but share this out. Companies like this in times like this are the ones that who deserve all the praise. You know, I it's great that a company donates gives out $100 million to all their employees who are forced working. Companies like this that are just going out there and showing that they care. I mean, these guys set it up. So they had I don't know how they did it, but they went to a little mom and pop deli basically and said, hey, any nurse that's working at the local hospital, as long as they have ID, the coffee's on us. This trucking company leads by example. There was another story, and I'm going to put it out later on, about a trucking company that was going, or a truck, I think they were a local trucking company, but they're going out to a truck stop and giving out a meal and then giving out giving out meals and giving out masks to truck drivers parked in the truck stop. It's crazy. It's crazy. You know, people are stepping up. We just don't highlight it enough because we're so focused on, oh God, this company laid people off, or oh God, the world's ending. Because it kind of seems, you know, in terms of freight and revenue and the market and all that stuff, it's crazy. Chivo Vida said he had a contract for 100,095 masks. Yeah, I don't know what you mean. And if you're talking about transporting them or something like that, maybe. David Quackelbaum said some dairy farmers are sending their dairy cows to slaughter. Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. The whole industry right now is kind of messed up. I don't want to talk about it too much, but I'll just say FreightWaves put out 2 different articles and they contradicted each other pretty good. One said, hey, we're at the bottom of the cliff. Rates are going to come up really soon. The other one said, oh, my God, the world's ending, essentially. You know, and not really. It was more of, you know, a sales thing, but it contradicted itself. So it makes it worries me. Chivo, send me a message after. Or send it to me on Facebook. I'll contact the guy afterwards. But, yeah. The whole thing is just nuts. It's crazy. You know, it's the industry is hurting, you know, and everyone wants it to just come back and rebound right now. I mean, we need it to, as I even if we were at the bottom, which I don't think we are, even if we were at the bottom, we're going to stay at the bottom for a while because they haven't even lifted the restrictions on essential businesses. To say that anything is going to happen in a couple of days, it's not going to work. Abdu said, give people the chance to speak. I don't know what you're talking about there. Nobody's called in. Phone lines are active. If anyone wants to call in, 914-803-4008. We'll see if that works and then go from there. Sean Fairman said, good show, dude. Thanks, buddy. Yeah, man, it's the whole thing. This whole thing worries me. You know, and one of the other things that's interesting is I put out another article today, too. Let me show you this one. This is on FreightBrokerLive.com. As you can see, my live show plays on FreightBroker Live. I've got all the new ads for Ascend TMS because they're awesome and the sponsor for this month or for the next 30 days, really. US DOT announces $10 billion in relief for America's airports. This is pretty interesting. This article, and I forgot to put the link in. I will edit this after I'm done with the show. Because there's a 66-page spreadsheet, essentially, that says each airport, how much money they're getting. And, I mean, like, Los Angeles airport's getting over $300 million. The Atlanta airport's getting over $300 million. And then little airports and, like, down here are getting, like, $1,000. There was one airport that was getting $1,000 in grants from the government. So it's interesting, but it's something that, I don't know, could the money be well spent? Probably. A lot of it's to keep employees employed, but if there's nobody traveling, I don't know. I don't understand the air side of things. I know we need to make sure businesses and people are able to stay open, but $10 billion to airports when nobody's flying, that's not even including all the aircraft bailouts and all that stuff, the airline bailouts that we don't even know about yet. That's the thing, and that's why I say it's going to be pretty hard to for this to rebound anytime soon. Think about it. Manufacturing shut down. The shit that is shipping now is either essential or it's surplus stuff that they're trying to get out while they can't open. There was an article that I read about. I read yesterday. I didn't write it because I'm not a wine guy and I didn't know how many of you guys were wine guys. So I wasn't going to write an article about wine, but it was all these companies in Southern California that make wine, you know, wineries that make wine. They were having issues getting in their you know, glass bottles and custom cardboard boxes and corks even, or the big wine barrels. They're having all those issues coming in. And even when they got them in, some of the warehouses were deemed essential because warehousing is an essential thing according to the critical incident or critical infrastructure workforce paperwork. But the bottling warehouses were not. They're not considered critical in California. So the problem is, these guys have wine and they can't bottle it and they can't sell it. And it's just, it's really weird. And then when you look at it from everything, little businesses and like North Carolina, there was local news reports, or I think it was national news yesterday where folks in North Carolina were like, listen, you can't tell us anymore that our business has to be closed. What the hell are we going to do if we can't make any money? You know, a $1,200 stimulus check or stimulus payment isn't going to do anything. It's not going to help anybody. You know, and that's it's crazy. It's crazy. Roman Britschka said capacity has notably decreased in the central Midwest for dry vans. I don't know. I didn't notice that today. I didn't go to the DAT market index. I'll do it now to check it out and see market conditions. Look at it and see, and I'll share this once I get up here. It loads. Wait for it to load, actually. Because this is live capacity. This is today. So, and again, I didn't check it, so I didn't in the Midwest, huh? So maybe that's wrong, I guess, if that's the case. there's, you know, it maybe capacity decreased, but if you look, there's no, the only places where it's hot, where the powers with the carrier are down, you know, in Texas, the Laredo market and then Houston market. It seems that there's issues or there's a little bit, carriers may have a little bit more buying power, but it's crazy. Laszlo said some of those protesters were arrested at that protest in rally. Yeah, I saw the report. It was not good. I honestly feel the same. I kind of feel going nuts about not being able to go to the gym. Why? The gym's probably the cleanest gym in Southern Florida, but we're not allowed to go to it because of COVID-19 and all that stuff. And they extended that through May 8th, you know, so that's, well, they've had it since May 8th. But think about, you know, even the gym owners were forthright with everybody and said, listen, if you guys cancel your memberships in this, you know, 45-day period from when they closed the gym before to now, we're done. We're out of business, you know, and that's the truth. That's what's going to happen. You know, I talked to one other person, I'm not going to mention who he is, that has a gym membership. He doesn't drive a truck or anything, but he lives at one place. And he found out that they closed the gym, and he called them and say, hey, are you charging my card? He's like, yeah, we have to. We're not going to be able to stay open. We still got to pay our bills. So he canceled his gym membership and you know, ripped up his card because he didn't want to pay the $35 or whatever the hell it is for a gym membership. Think about pizza in bars and restaurants and all these places, movie theaters. You know, Kohl's is that, you know, there's reports on Macy's, Kohl's. Are they even going to be able to withstand this whole thing? Are they going to be able to stay open? Who is able to stay open? That's, you know, I can't imagine if I just had to stop working for a month and then try to survive. I don't know. It would not be good. But here's the capacity map for today for dry vans. As you can see, it is still a sea of blue. It's actually gotten a little bit better. When we looked at this last night, it was pretty rough. Let's look at tomorrow, and then I'll stop looking at this. But it's not good. It's not good. Yeah, even tomorrow. It's not looking good either. Brian Zarling said this is depressing. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I try to be as positive as I can about everything. You guys know, everyone that watches my show regularly, you guys know, I try to be as positive as I can. The issue that I have is there's not a lot positive. You know, I'm still breathing. My life, you know, is still here. Drivers are out there doing it, but are drivers, is there any driver out there right now that's saying that, you know, they're still making money over fist? I mean, people haven't said that in years, but are there drivers that are owner operators that are out there that are making more than what their operating costs are? Cause I'd be curious to see that if there's solo owner operators, not least on anybody that are responsible for booking their own loads, are you generating a profit? Cause I would say it would be not, you know, because just look at what the market's doing. Yesterday's video was a little bit strong. And I know that because I did take offense to some of these brokers that are out here offering 90 cents, you know, per mile. And I saw them this morning too. And you just kind of got to ignore them. You know, it's crazy. Not a single one of you guys. Oh, so Ryan said he's making money. Good for you, Ryan, because you're the only one that I've heard so far that says that they're actually making money right now. Instead of, you know, just breaking even, you're making money is what I mean. Laz said it's called saving for a rainy day. I had 5 months dry spell with no loads and came through it. If you're not putting something away for times like this, you're setting yourself up for a big problem. Yeah, the problem is that 2019 was that rainy day for a lot of these drivers. Brokers are a little bit different because, yeah, you cannot book loads and still sustain because we have a less of an expense. But what would be I don't know. 2019 was a rainy day for a lot of these carriers, guys. You know, they muscled through it and they persevered. And we know a lot of companies went out of business, and there's going to be a lot of companies that are going out of business in the very near future. And here's the kicker. If rates start coming up, these companies are still going to be folding, because sitting this long and these guys that are out here, you know, with say 50 trucks that are out here running the spot market crap now and not making crap because they have to, because they muscled through 2019, they're not going to be able to sustain because they're still going to be continuously falling behind and everything. It's crazy. It's crazy. Barry White said no owner operator wants to send their outside and their extra expenses. Send them. Yeah. I don't really know what you mean by that, but as he said on Facebook, he said this crap, according to DAT, should be over $2, but yet they pay $1.30 a month. Again, it's capacity, bud. It's if we have a tremendous amount of capacity, rates are going to be low. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Mob Entertainment on YouTube said, I see it as a complete reset with the 2018 rates. I don't understand why more people have stacked up than they have. Bad money management. I agree. A lot of people, you know, preemptively jumped in full force and kept adding trucks and did everything they could to stay afloat, and then just to have it. That's crazy. David Quackenbaum, his projection is that rates aren't going to rebound until second quarter of next year. I don't think we're going that far, but I don't think rates are going to get up to profitability until Q4. And that's what I say all the time. Do I think rates are going to come up a little bit? But yeah, but everyone loses money. So you got to think, even if we had $2 a mile rates tomorrow, going to be profitable because of all the money we had to spend in the past 2 weeks or past week where rates suck. And it's going to keep doing that. the longer we're in this bottom, or it, which I don't even think we're in it yet, but it, when we finally do get to this bottom, we're going to stay in there. And the longer we're in there, the more it's going to have dire consequences to the companies that are working in the industry every day. Again, my opinion, I'm not an economist or anything like that. I can only say based on what I see in terms of freight and all that. You know, like I said, we moved a tremendous amount of freight last week as a broker. My commission check reflected the fact that we were moving it for a much smaller margin. Even though we moved more volume than we did, our commission check was less than what we would normally have made because the rates are that low. You know, even though the percentage rates and all that stuff stay the same, essentially, we just made less money because we make a percentage or you know, a set percentage of each load. It's crazy. H. Davis on YouTube said overhead will make or break you in this industry. It's funny because I was asked this morning when I was on Fault Lines, they asked, you know, is it going to be a good time if you're sitting on a bunch of money right now just to buy a truck and agent MC and just wait for this thing to go if you have the money to do? And I answered truthfully, yeah. But the problem is we don't know when this is going to end. So if you have enough money to float, something I've even entertained, and I know a couple of you viewers that I talk to regularly are also entertaining either buying an existing company or just, you know, buying a couple of trucks and sitting on them until this is done. Because when it does come back, if you're already, you know, financially set and you're not digging yourself into a further hole as this continues on, you may find yourself in a good little space, hopefully. But John Capps said paying a driver and doing more deadhead, but averaging $275 a mile, including all deadhead. Well, that's pretty good because you're not one of the regulars that I've seen out here. Roman said he looked at that map too. There has to be some lag time and data not being processed correctly. The situation on the ground has changed from last week to today. Again, I'm a broker, so I broker freight, and I'm not seeing a difference. I'm still seeing, and I watch social media like a hawk. That's pretty much what my day job is now, it seems. And I'm not seeing a difference in terms of rates and capacity so far. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I'm just saying based on what I see, even though there may be a capacity crunch a little bit, rates aren't coming up. Because it's not hard to cover a load. So if we still have trucks and we're still going to cover loads with very minimal effort, the rates are going to stay low. If trucks are start to pull off and the capacity tightens up a little bit, then it will be a little bit better. Barry White on Facebook said, buddy, can you confirm one thing? If the Canadian borders are exactly open for supply for truckers? Yes, they are. The Canadian borders are not shut down for cargo. They're only shut down for people. But the problem with that is a lot of businesses are shut down. So they saw a big reduction in, and I wrote an article a week or two ago, they saw a huge reduction in commercial traffic across the board. I think it was 24% reduction in commercial freight just because the majority of places are closed, which is ironic. And there's no freight. But here's the thing, even if capacity dips a little bit, and which we all want it to, there's no freight. The only freight that's out there is essential goods or businesses that are considered essential, even though trucking, because for example, you pick up a load, even if you're delivering to a place that's closed, you're still permitted to travel. Trucking is essential. But the problem is if there's no freight to go out there, there's going to be an abundance of trucks. Now you may hit a small market where, okay, you have a little bit of a challenge to cover loads, but it most likely you're not going to feel that much of a challenge. But Tim, the CEO of Ascend, should be calling me here in a second. As soon as I see him come on, I will just play their commercial again, and then we'll just talk. Like I said, it's not going to be a big infomercial. We're just going to shoot the shit, I guess is the easiest way to say it. And then when that's done, I'll open up the call lines if anyone wants to call or answer questions or anything like that. But the industry is interesting. Right now, with everything happening, the industry is interesting, you know, and it's it makes me nervous. That's what I said last night. There's no other way to say it. It just makes me nervous. This industry makes me nervous, you know, just having the unpredictability of everything just makes me nervous. All right. Well, I think Tim is calling the wrong line, but hold on. Let me try to answer this. Hey, Tim, can you hear me? Nope. Okay. Yeah, Tim, if you're watching, call my cell phone, please. 603 number. But yeah. Josh Lumpston said, we have a lot of flatbed freight and it's busy as hell right now and pays a little bit better. Carriers, can't some carriers leave the vans at home and try a flatbed? Absolutely. If they can get their hands on a flatbed. Absolutely. And it's funny because a lot of flatbed and Conestoga and stepdad carriers, when this whole, all this whole thing started, they asked the same thing. Let me see if this call is here. Nope, it's not. All right, Tim, if you're watching, 603-209-2605. I'm going to email it to you as well. But you should, there you go. Yep. Hey, Tim, you here?
Hey.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Sorry about that. I can write software, but I'm not able to call the right phone number.
It's all right. This one, I just knew the call wouldn't drop. Yesterday, we had all sorts of tech issues with the software, so I knew if you called directly and go through the board, it wouldn't drop. How you doing today,
problem,
buddy?
Man. Yeah, I'm doing good. I've just been listening to your show, and if I wasn't going to kill myself before, I'm definitely going to kill myself right after the show. So.
I know. Unfortunately, I don't know, man. We've talked a lot about this. It scares the crap out of me. I can't really hide it anymore. I try to have an optimistic outlook on everything, and, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, listen, there's two kinds of people, right? Half full, half empty glasses, and you've got to be a glass half full kind of person. Because if you, in these days, if you're not glass half full, you surely will jump off a steep cliff. So you just got to keep it all in perspective. You know, hopefully where you are, the sun will shine occasionally, and you know, you can go for a little walk, but, you know, all the news, everything you read about on TV, on the newspapers, on TV, radio, it's not good news. I mean, every economist is, you know, with dire predictions. You've just got to take it all with a big, big grain of salt, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So with Ascend TMS, so for everyone that's listening, Tim is the CEO and founder of Ascend TMS, which is the software. They sponsored my show for the month, which is actually over there. And, It's just, the more I learn about it, it's a great software. What have you seen in terms of users? I know you guys saw a bump in users as this COVID-19 pandemic spread, but what are you seeing in terms of people who are signing up? What are they telling you?
Yeah, so first of all, this is, you know, definitely not an advertisement for us. I don't want it to be. You know, I want to try to somehow educate. But, you know, what we saw is last week, unbelievably, between 3 p.m. on Wednesday and 3 p.m. on Thursday, we had our most new customers ever. 159 new Ascend TMS accounts were created. Usually we see between, you know, 15 and 25 or so in a 24-hour period. So, you know, the vast majority of those people were either A, you know, they were trying to work from home, because if you're not already in a place where you have to work from home, ordinances are starting to dictate that. Right. So all of a sudden somebody realizes, oh, I've got, you know, 5, 6, 8 employees, whatever, 30 employees, and I've got to somehow figure out how they can work remotely. And, you know, that's not easy. So we've been babysitters, holding people's hands. You know, Ascend itself is definitely able to handle that because it's truly web native. But a lot of people had to get new phone systems. You'd be surprised how many people are running, you know, old black boxes on their wall that have been there for 20 years, and they've got no idea, you know, how to, you know, get people to be able to use voice over IP phone systems like Ring Central or Zoom. Video conferencing, you know, how do you, you know, manage this, you know, a plethora of choices, you know. So we've been holding people's hands, essentially being kind of tech consultants. And then the other reason people have been, you know, coming to Ascend is quite simply, if you're using, you know, another TMS product that maybe is, you know, 20, 30 years old, you're used to getting annual license fees, or every time you call them up, you know, they charge you for support and for training. I was talking to one person last week, you know, they called up one big name and 15 minutes passes and they get a bill for $1,200. And I, you know, I said, well, why did you get a bill for $1,200? And he said, well, even the guy didn't know when I called him. He just said he had a book, and for the problem that, you know, he had, he went down this list and he said the call would, you know, to resolve it was $1,200. And that's what he got charged. And the ironic thing was, is it wasn't a problem that, you know, the guy had, it was a problem with the software. So there was a bug in the software that had to get fixed that they, you know, charged $1,200 for, which to me seems unfair. But so that's the other reason people have been moving to us, because they're trying to get away from this old expensive technology and get to something cheaper. Everybody's trying to clean up their balance sheets and reduce costs right now, Steve.
What do you think? Here's a question for you. It's kind of off topic a little bit, but because I know a lot of the viewers are curious, and because you work in the tech space and you have a bunch of experience in it, what do you think about automation? And it's a two-sided question. So we have truck automation, then we have the freight brokering process automation.
Yeah.
What do you think about automation? Do you think that's actually something we have to worry about for, like, our generation?
Well, so you know, you just opened like a whole, you know, kind of Chinese box, right? That, you know, we could talk about this for hours and hours. And so, and no matter what I say, for some people I'll be right, for some people I'll be wrong. I mean, I wrote an article for TIA about autonomous trucks, and I said that they won't ever happen in my lifetime. And so, you know, my lifetime, I'm hoping that I've got a good 40 years left on this earth.
Right.
Well, it depends, you know, how long is COVID-19 thing left. But you know, the bottom line is, they're not going to happen. If you read my article, I think it was called, just go to TIA's website and type in, you know, autonomous trucks not in my lifetime. That, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that, you know, we are going to have a lot of things that are going to help a driver, but you know, anybody that's actually been in a truck and been a driver, a carrier, anybody that's got any experience at all knows that if you're driving down, you know, a road in a straight line, hey, that's pretty easy. Maybe you could automate that. And an argument could be made that we already have. They're called trains. But for, you know, the vast majority of things that go wrong on the road, you know, how are you going to handle that remotely? There's a broken tire. There's a high crosswinds across a bridge. There's a broken axle, a flat tire. Children, you know, it's 3 o'clock and children are playing by the roadside. You know, you don't even know what they're going to do. There's just crazy drivers. Have you ever driven through a construction zone? It's like, who put these cones like so close to the, you know, the big concrete barriers? Like, you know, what are they driving, a bicycle? I mean, how does a truck go through some of those construction zones? So there's just so many issues with autonomous trucking that we'll get to some autonomy, just like in my car. You know, if I don't brake, you know, if I'm not paying attention, it'll brake for me. But that already exists in most new trucks today that you buy, you know, off the lot. So I just think that we're a long way from that. When it comes to brokerage, most of these digital brokers, they say, oh, we're a digital broker. Well, they started their companies with the ideal that you could automate a lot of the process. The problem was is that brokers generally aren't there, you know, just to sit around fiddling their, you know, their fingers, you know, twiddling their thumbs all day. A good broker is there to basically act as the transportation department for the shippers they serve and to act as the dispatch and the overall day-to-day department that handles the drivers and the carriers for on the carrier side. So these automated brokers, these digital brokers, quickly realized that you can't automate everything because you need a broker when something goes wrong. You know, I used to own a $40 million brokerage. We used to have a carrier's part of that. I don't have any interest in any of that anymore at all. But I lived this life for years. I lived the life for years. So brokers are needed, human beings, when something goes wrong. And I don't think that you can ever really truly fix that. You can still take a 30-person brokerage and you can use automation to automate some of the processes to turn that into a 20-person brokerage, but you will never be able to just have like one person sitting on this big cone, you know, kind of, you know, watching 15 monitors where the computers do everything.
Right.
It's never going to happen. And anybody tells you it's going to happen is lying. And anybody that's actually in brokerage know that they're lying. So, you know, let's escape the pretense and the facade and call it what it is. Most brokers today are becoming more technically, more digital enhanced, more like a digital broker because they're using new technology, maybe right. Not just Ascend, but other technologies. And it's allowing them to become more like a digital broker. So I think brokers are just going to all be digital. In the next 5 years, there won't be a non-digital broker because they will be either out of business or they'll have just retired.
Right. No, and I agree. And I always said that, and I say it almost incessantly on the show as well, that even though I believe in automating certain practices within the brokerage side of things, like the carrier broker negotiations, that could be automated and it could be done through either DAT or TruckStop or Trucker Tools.
Absolutely.
Or any of these softwares that are out there that currently do it. There are brokers that have they have the appearance that that's what they're doing in terms of the entire process, which is not true. And so it's interesting. And I always say and I kind of coined the term with you guys, people that choose to work with the Ascend TMS, especially with all the other stuff that I can't say yet, but that you have down in the works, it Ascend TMS and other TMS systems, they give, but mostly Ascend because of the functionality you currently have in that and what comes in that package. It gives the brokers and carriers, because I think a lot of people forget Ascend is a fully manageable carrier's TMS system as well. So it, but it gives that appearance. It allows someone, a non-digital broker to be it to be a digital broker, if that makes sense. I know that was convoluted.
So Ascend, you know, what we realized very quickly is that, you know, if you were just to build just a carrier TMS, there's a massive hole, right? Because most carriers, when they don't have a truck of their own, they broker. So you've got to be able to do assets and brokerage. A lot of brokers have got one or two trucks. Why? Because they want to, you know, appear to have some assets, you know, to their customers when they call. So, and a lot of shippers, the vast majority, maybe 60 or 70% of our shipper customers all have at least one truck. Some have got 200 trucks, whether it's local delivery or the expedited stuff. And so you have to have a TMS that can handle all three situations, which is, you know, basically shipper tools, broker tools, carrier tools in one unified system, and allow the user to turn on or turn off those things as they need them. And if they don't need them, they turn them off and their screen, you know, screens get decluttered. And I'm saying that because what you just mentioned about DAT and truck stop, they're doing a great job of providing the industry with a evolution of new tools. So, you know, book now from DAT and book it now from truck stop, essentially the same thing. So what they're doing is trying to say, in this entire process of, you know, a shipper needing a load to be moved and then eventually, you know, it getting delivered and getting the PODs back, there's a whole bunch of little touch points and processes. And so people like us and Truck Stop and DAT and a lot of our other partners, we're looking at the touch points and saying, where can you automate those touch points and make it easier for everybody, not just for the TMS user, but for, you know, the broker and the shipper and the driver and everybody in that supply chain. But there's always going to be a time when you might have to pick up the phone and ask a question. There's going to be claim situations. There's going to be situations where people get stopped at a weigh station. There's a million things that can go wrong. And I think we've got to remember that you can automate some things, but a lot of things are always going to require a human being and somebody with knowledge in this space.
Right. No, and I completely agree. I know you may not be comfortable answering. When do you think this is going to end? If you listen to the first part of the show, I talked a little bit about some articles that I saw online that were like, oh, it's going to end immediately, or no, it's going to last forever. Based on you, I mean, you have a lot of experience in the industry. What is your take on the whole COVID-19 thing? Your personal
thing. It's all going to end on Thursday at 3:30.
All right. Well, I'm holding you to that.
It's funny because I was actually listening to you and you were saying, you know, there was a gentleman that called in and he was saying, you know, he hadn't run for 5 months. And you quite rightly said, you know, you're a smart guy. You know, in 2019, you know, you basically saved, you know, for a rainy day. You had a rainy day fund.
Yeah.
Well, if 2019 was a rainy day, 2020 is like a cat 6 hurricane, you know, with embedded tornadoes, you know, right after a major earthquake. So I think that there are a few people out there that are doing okay. So a few of your people say, hey, I'm doing okay. I'm getting this per mile. I'm seeing good freight. So, you know, one out of every 20 people, if you're in, you know, maybe food or medical supplies or, you know, expedited business, maybe you are doing okay. And that's fantastic. The problem is the other, you know, 80, 90% of people that maybe moved furniture or, you know, bedding or clothing. I mean, the numbers this morning on, you know, CNBC and the other financial channels, you know, they were just off the charts bad because, I mean, retail clothing sales this morning for the month of March, which we didn't even have the big, you know, kind of COVID-19 mess that we've got right now, we're down over 50%. So, and so in all the areas that were locked down in March, just for 2 weeks, retail sales of clothing was down 50%. So if you were doing any apparel freight of any kind, you're screwed. You might have got some loads, but you've got lots of new competition from people that were moving, say, furniture that aren't getting any freight whatsoever. And so they're now saying to the apparel guys, hey, you got any freight? So it drives the price down. There's so many things here that, you know, we could talk about. You know, I have a degree in mathematical economics. You know, if you know me, you know that. You know, one thing about economists, I'll say, whenever you see an economist say something, you know, on television or in the newspaper, economics is the only science that's not really a science, because if it was a science, then everybody would agree on one particular answer.
Right.
And so economists can never agree. So just ignore them because they're all full of it. You may as well go to your local crystal ball, you know, hawker and you know, pay them $20 and ask you to, you know, for the future. So I will say that the Federal Reserve is doing their best right now to so if I was to try and give an analogy, it's like a really big ship that's sinking. And everybody on the ship knows the ship is sinking. Everybody knows it. The captain, however, is telling everybody it's going to be okay. And rather than actually fixing the big holes that are in the ship that are causing the sinking, the Federal Reserve, all they did was give everybody bigger buckets to bail the, you know, to bail the boat out. So I think this is going to go on for a long time, and it's going to happen in pockets around the economy. I mean, unemployment right now is something, you know, like 10, 12, 15%, depending on, you know, what numbers you use.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of people, you know, 15 million or 60 million now that are officially unemployed. That's going to rise to 25 or 30 million. Right now, they are spending the little money they have left. They are, you know, getting their little stimulus checks. The problem isn't now, Steve. The problem's going to be in 30, 60, 90 days when those people truly are completely broke.
Right.
And they cannot buy anything. And all of a sudden, they can't pay their mortgages and pay their rent. So I think that we need to collectively, if anybody's listening to the show, needs to say, how do I clean up my own balance sheet? How do I get my own house in order? How do I look at my own P&L and look at every single expense and cut to the bone everything that I've got? Because at the end of the day, what you want to be is one of the few businesses left standing. When this fog clears up, whether that's going to be in 6 months, 9 months, or a year, it doesn't matter when it is, a lot of people are going to go under and out of business. Right. What your main job right now is to put food on the table for you and your family, and when it all, you know, ends in whatever time period that is, you need to be able to jump in your truck, turn that ignition key, and say, okay, we survived. I'm now ready for business.
That is true. And hey, Tim, thank you for joining us today. How can people get in touch with us, NTMS, and you guys? Besides clicking on one of the ads on my website.
Yeah. Just go to thefreetms.com. Everybody, we used to have a shipper directory we used to charge for. Mm-hmm. We're not charging for the shipper directory at all. There's 26,000 shippers with credit scores, contact information. For the record, we do not get that information, you know, from Ascend users. You know, we buy that information from Dun & Bradstreet and Hoover's and other places. Mm-hmm. It costs us a fortune. So we're giving away every single person that gets an Ascend account will get the free shipper directory. Now, I will say this. Somebody said to me the other day, well, you know, I got the shipper directory and you know, I'm not seeing any more freight. No, you've actually got to call the shippers. all we can do is get, you know, what's the old saying? You know, we can lead them to water, can't make them drink.
Yeah.
So, that you know, if you're in a state, you sort by the state you're in or where your trucks are, and you've got literally in any area you're in hundreds, if not thousands of shippers, where phone numbers, the commodities, we've got their credit scores, and you can start making phone calls. I've heard some amazing stories of people that have sat there all day long, called 30, 40 different people and got nothing, and then all of a sudden found somebody that somebody dropped off a load, they needed some help, and then all of a sudden they're doing 3 or 4 loads a week for those people. So, you know, persevere. All I can do is give you tools. And then the other thing is Ascend TMS is free for 30 days. If you're not using any technology today, you need to be using something because otherwise you're going to be obsolete. If you're using something else, fantastic. You keep using it and leverage it. But if you want a free technology system, it's free for 30 days. And if you work with one of our partners, like the DATs and the truck stops, Triumph Business Capital, I could go on, we can give up to 1 year of free service. So we have a lot of carriers and brokers that, you know, take one of these special offers on our pricing page and they get Ascend completely for free, no strings attached with the shipper directory, all included. So please take advantage of this. We are doing fine. We're making money. We're very profitable here. And we're trying to do our part by giving back and saying to people, use our technology. It's free. Take the shipper directory. It's free. Get on the phone. Make some phone calls. And if you guys out there have got ideas for us on making our system better for you, tell us. Because all of the features we build in our system come from – I'm not joking about this. Every week we have a meeting of all of the different suggestions, Steve, that came in.
Yeah.
And we listen to what they say. And if they've got suggestions, tell us, and we'll build it for you at no cost.
Right. Yeah, I've seen that before. And even before you and I started talking, when I was a broker and a carrier, I used to send and I used to call and complain about something. And then 2 weeks later, it's a new feature in the software. So you guys, you know, that was early on. But you guys have done quite a bit. A couple of people are saying that they're current subscribers in the chat, that they're current subscribers and they don't know where the directory is. I believe that you guys would have to call in and speak to someone first.
Just for the record, what we've done is we've told our support team that when a new account's created, within 24 hours, they'll manually go in and add it.
Gotcha.
So just give it 24 hours. I mean, we got 159 new accounts, you know, last week. Today, we'll probably, because of this call, we'll get 75 or 80 new accounts created. So just give it 24 hours. And then when you go into your customers area on the left-hand side, you'll see shipper directory, and it'll be added to your account. Certainly by this time tomorrow. If it's not, then you just call our support line. We have real, actual human beings that'll pick up the phone, and they're really friendly people. Real humans work here.
That's mind blowing. Hey man, thanks for calling. We'll definitely have to have you come on again. I didn't know that you had a degree in economics. So you're gonna be you're gonna be my economics go to. So just for everyone to see, the website for you guys to go to is thefreetms.com.
That is correct.
And then, hey, man, thanks for joining me today, bud.
Yeah, anytime, man, anytime. And good luck to everybody out there. And, you know, everybody, just wash your hands often and just keep moving forward, everybody. Things will get better. The clouds will disperse. The sun will come out. And before you know it, we'll all be doing fine again.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah. All right. And then for that, I'm just going to play the Ascend commercial quickly while I get a drink. And then I've got a guy that's been on hold the entire time. So as soon as I'm back from this commercial, I will put you on the air. Thank you for holding. But hold on one second. Let me play this.
Aren't you tired of your outdated server installed TMS? Are you stuck with a software that looks like it was developed when the Matrix movie was popular? Well, Ascend TMS is here to bring you to the actual future of TMS solutions. You can literally get started in less than 15 seconds. Ascend TMS is one of the only true cloud-based TMS softwares on the market. Where other softwares can take weeks or even months to implement, Ascend TMS just takes a few moments. See, we actually timed it. And what about features? I think we have you covered there. Here at Ascend TMS, we're so confident you'll make your business more efficient and profitable in your first 30 days, we give it to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today at thefreetms.com.
All righty. All right, let me pick up this call. Hopefully this works because the guy's been on hold for like 15 minutes. Let me see here. Is it going to connect? Yeah, hey, you there, bud?
Yeah, I'm there. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. I like your show.
Hey, good. Thanks. Sorry for the long hold. What's up?
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. So basically, I'm like an in-house broker. I work for one of the bigger cold storage warehousing companies. And basically, what we did is my department took an in-house brokerage because our Midwest warehouses were getting killed by other brokers. So like two guys from our company decided like, hey, you know what? We could probably just create our own brokerage, and we started taking a few loads, and then it became like, you know, it became a bunch of loads and whatnot. And basically, I'm pretty new to this industry. I just graduated college in last May, and I graduated with a finance major and stuff like that. So I was just wondering, I was thinking about starting my own brokerage, and I just wanted to know, like, because one of my coworkers said that what we do is very, very similar to what brokers do, and I just wanted to know, like, what was missing. So we have a
Customers are what's missing. Your business right now, you're moving freight that's in your warehouse from what I'm gathering based on what you're saying. So to be honest, the actions of being a broker is not a hard job no other broker out there is going to say it's a hard job. The hard part about being a broker, a book of business, and maintaining that book of business as other brokers try to win that business from you, that's the hardest part. I would honestly say that you probably, if you've only been doing it for a year, there's no reason for you to go out and start your own brokerage anywhere. To be honest, especially if you're up in that Jersey area, there's enough brokerages that you could go and get more experience. Because while you may have experience, you know, giving out loads to carriers and stuff, you don't have the experience doing the backhaul or all the back office support stuff that you would need. And that's, to be honest, that's what a lot of people caught off guard about, is they don't pay attention to all the back office and the accounting and paying carriers quickly and doing all that stuff. You know, in my personal opinion, you're free to do what you want. But
I would say I definitely assume that the biggest part missing was the carriers. I'm sorry, the customers.
Right.
But we do Everyone in my department does their own invoicing, which is pretty interesting. So is there any more back office stuff besides invoicing?
Because who are you invoicing? You're invoicing your customers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you invoice customers, but then you got to make sure you're paying your carriers on time and doing all that as well. Is there a tremendous about, you got to make sure you have the correct paperwork that goes with every load. You got to make sure that the paperwork that the carrier is sending you is even real, because carriers send in fake paperwork all the time. I've had it even in the past year. I've had it where a carrier sent in fake bills of lading just because I was hounding him about delivery, and he was 3 days late delivering, and he still had yet to deliver. So he sent me a fake bill of lading. Like, there's a lot of different like little mannerisms. And I'll be honest. Anyone that has less than like 5 years experience should not enter the brokerage workforce. And I know that's it's harsh, but that's my opinion on it. If you don't have 5 years experience finding and buying trucks and hard times and just literally running a brokerage, here's when you'll be ready. When you are completely running the ins and outs of another brokerage, that's where you could think about going and starting your own brokerage. Because otherwise, you'll be ill prepared. And this is harsh, man, and I apologize, but the industry doesn't need any ill-prepared brokers.
You don't have to apologize. I understand. Keep going, though. What were you saying?
I was just saying the industry doesn't need any more ill-prepared brokers at all. You know, like I say in a lot of shows, I think that every single broker should have to have they should be vetted. They should be required to prove that they have 5 years experience. You know, perfect credit, all these different things to protect the integrity of the job. Because right now we have a bunch of boneheads that are out there. And granted, we have a lot of brokers that are out here. A lot of the small guys, we're only talking about the small broker or small carriers that are going to possibly close down with COVID-19. There's going to be a lot of brokers that close down when they don't get payment because their shippers aren't going to be able to pay. This isn't going to be a short-term thing. And those are all things that you have to do. Laz on Facebook, he's a broker and he's an agent. He's had his own brokerages just like me and the carrier side. He said, vetting carriers, customers, OS&D, TMS operation, dealing with factoring companies, comm checks, that's all back office stuff. You know, it's a lot. There's a lot of stuff. So if you have the time to wait, I mean, you're in a good area. You could find, you know, there's a lot of brokers in your area. You could find someone that'll take you on with the experience that you have and just go and just immerse yourself and, you know, find out as much as you can about the industry. Cause if you're working with less than a year of experience, the industry doesn't need you as hard as that is, you know, just like John Davis said, you just need more experience. You're brand new and you don't know what you don't know, and which is absolutely correct. I've been doing this for 15 years and I learn new shit every day. You know what I mean? And that stuff that I learned today was stuff that would have helped me at some time in the past. I just didn't know about it. You know what I mean? But thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Even like the carrier stuff, we have already have dedicated, we already have contracts in our TMS that I just pick out of there. It's basically if one of those carriers doesn't want to, can't take the freight, we can hop on DAT and then look for a carrier. But to be honest with you, I haven't even done that yet because the carrier procurement guy usually does that. So I don't even really have experience using DAT on the carrier side, let alone getting customers. But I'd say for the back office stuff.
So how are you booking loads now? You're just using it off RFP customers or RFP carriers?
Well, first off, the loads come over from our own warehouses, so that's, and they come over in the TMS. We accept them, and then we tender them to the carriers.
But how are the carriers finding the loads? Are you, because you said you're not using DAT, so are you posting them out to load boards and having carriers call in on them, or are you just calling surplus carriers?
We're just emailing them. We only go to DAT. We only resort to DAT if the carriers we don't have contracts with can't take it.
Got you. So you there's a lot you need. You need the whole art of negotiation with dealing with the load boards too, which is
correct.
Which is correct. Years of experience in itself. Yeah, I mean you can learn it in like a week, but it's a whole ballgame, especially now.
my thing is I'm only making like a little under 50 grand a year. So I figured like if I got into the business, I could get away with charging a lot less because I can survive on a lot less. I'm only one guy living alone. I am getting married soon, but I'm not going to be, you know, breaking the bank over that and you know, all that stuff. But
yeah,
I wish you
the best luck. My advice would be to just stay doing what you're doing, buddy. That would be my advice to you.
And just absorb information, right?
Yeah, just keep learning. You know, try ask that procurement guy how he's doing, what he's doing. Ask, you know, the carriers when you talk, like where are they going? Absorb everything. Talk to your invoicing and accounting ladies to find out how they're when they're paying, what their payment terms are with these carriers, and how they're paying them. If you know fuel advances, figure out how they're dealing with those things. It literally just absorb every single thing you can. And then in, you know, another 5 or so years, then you could think about going out. Because if you got a job that's paying you 50 grand a year, just working in-house as an in-house logistics person, I mean, stay doing it.
Awesome.
That's my advice. Thank you for calling, though, bro. Sorry, I hung up on you on accident. My bad. Chandler Measley on Facebook said, the industry doesn't need a broker, period. Carriers can have direct contact with shippers thanks to the internet. Yeah, well, and here's the kicker, because just to say, no. It takes a lot more than just, you know, a phone call to establish a relationship with a shipper. There's a lot more work to it, and a solo carrier is, sure, can they go out and get direct customers? Yeah. Are they going to be able to handle the type of accounts that I have? No. You know why? Here's the simple reason. My customer sends me 50-plus loads a day. Unless I had 50 trucks, there's no way in hell I can handle all that freight myself. I have to broker. Those are the types of companies that if brokers were non-existing, you know who would get my customer? The big carriers. The people with 50 trucks that can handle it. Or they'd bid on individual lanes. But there's no specific lanes with this customer, so it's pretty much as they go out. There's so much. That whole argument that the industry doesn't need brokers is kind of silly. I think there's a lot of carriers out there that could go and just create their own destiny, but they choose not to, and they choose to get on Facebook and blast brokers. A lot of the blasting brokers lately is kind of founded, I'll be honest. A lot of these people lately, some of the rates I've seen are pretty bad. Carl earlier, he asked, how much is the TMS system? I believe it's $59 after the $59 a user after the free trial, or the free 30 days. So it's a really good software. Keith Lowry on YouTube asked earlier, is this a bad time to change careers and become a driver? No, I would think it's a good time to become a driver. Drivers are in need. They supposedly in need. We have an overabundance of trucks, but when this thing finally does recycle itself around and starts looking back, then, yeah, I mean, drivers are going to be – that's why I'm thinking about buying a truck, you know. And Laz, I know I've talked to him before. He's entertaining the idea because there's a lot of money to be made. Just nobody really knows when it's going to be made, you know, which is – that's crazy. Barry White said, only two Asian countries, i.e. India and China, are having positive numbers in terms of GDP for this year per IMF. USA is in negative. That's really scary in this time. You know, it's funny because I had the IMF article that came out this morning. I had that open. I didn't even start to read it. And then I shut it down right before I made this video. And I do want to read it because it was funny because it was posted by someone who works for a company that posted something completely different. And so I was kind of like, wow, that's crazy. Wild Man on YouTube said revoke work visa. Okay, I'm not going there. I'm not a fan of that kind of stuff. Courtney Smoot on Facebook said, so it's safe to say a new brokerage is looking to get off the ground. This is not a good time. No, it's not a good time. Yes and no. Is it a good time to sit and plan and figure out, okay, this is my strategy? Because here's what I think is really going to happen, you know, and I may even, depending on how much money I make from the Freight Broker Live thing, by the time this all turns around, I may even have to devote more time to brokering or the sales side of things, because I think a lot of customers come up for grabs. A lot of customers that have been closed for 2 or 3 months are going to be fresh, and they're going to come back, and they've always worked with the same broker, same carrier all the time. And even though they weren't happy, they just didn't want to go through the process of setting them up and doing new vetting and doing new RFPs. I think a lot of these customers are going to be really okay with having a new company come in. And especially if they had a full service offering, there was one, I forgot who it was, but there was one brokerage where they literally would just say, hey, we will come in and we'll replace your logistics department. We make 12% across the board. And they're not just handling freight broker. They make 12% of each load, but they're handling all the invoicing. They literally go and work in the office of their manufacturing. It's a quite a brilliant strategy. And I think a lot of companies would be receptive to that idea, because now you can do a lot of that crap remote. You don't even need to be there, you know, and that was where this whole show was supposed to go, was about freight tech and how this industry is going to change. You know, Shipwell, they were featured in that article I put out yesterday with Ascend and all the other companies. Shipwell said, you know, they're going to take a hard look at whether or not to permanently keep some people from working from home because of how successful the process has been. I know a lot of other companies are entertaining the same thing, because it a lot of these companies and a lot of people, for example, me, I'm way more productive sitting in my house than I am in an office. Why? Because when I'm in an office, I sit and then I get bored and I look around. Here, I sit and I work, and then I'll like have music or YouTube or something playing too loud, or I'll listen to my kids and listen to everything they're saying, scream at them once in a while to make myself feel like I'm the boss of the house. And then, but I for some reason, I've always just been able to get a lot more done with the distractions of my house versus the distractions of an office. Could be that I've just been in a lot of managerial positions. So I've always had other people that I have to make sure are working, and that, you know, takes my focus off of what I'm trying to do in terms of regular jobs. But, you know, I wouldn't recommend a new freight brokerage enter the industry if you don't have a tremendous amount of experience and a existing customer base. If you're coming in, LZ or however you say your name on Facebook, I'll put it up on the screen. LZ Houston on Facebook asked, brand new brokerage, any recommendations? If you have your own customer base, then, you know, more power to you. That's the only thing I could say. If you don't, then you're going to be in a struggle, because I'm sure a lot of sales directors, you know, logistics companies worldwide now are sitting here and they're prepping their sales force and being like, listen, when this is done, a lot of these companies are going to be open to working with new people. So this is the time where we have to go and get it and show that we can do a good job and then maintain that business too. A lot of sales directors are going to be doing the same thing. And I should know, I was one. So it's crazy. The whole thing is crazy. We have a lot of new comments. Let me scroll down a little bit. Laszlo said, carriers thinking brokers aren't necessary or dreaming. I know, it's crazy. John Davis on Facebook said, a lot of shippers don't want to work with carriers. They want to work with the broker to act like their own transportation department, and the broker gets paid the commission for that service. I've actually used that as a sales pitch a couple of times for customers. And like I've said in some of the sales training stuff that I used to do, I've actually used Indeed job ads, people that are looking to hire logistics departments as sales leads. And say, oh, you know, if a keyword freight, and then you just got to get through all the trucking. But people that are looking for people to handle freight or go through freight invoices or negotiate with carriers, those are all keywords that I've been successful at using as sales leads. Because if they have a logistics department, guess what? They're shipping shit. And so I would call them and be like, hey, I saw your ad. No, I'm not interested in a job, but I would like to do that job for you and just do it on a commission basis. And I've been successful at getting some business there, but other times that they want like a fully outsourced managed service, which I'm not capable of doing, because I'm all over the place. I'm busy. I've got like 10 businesses going and all that stuff. Chandler said they don't, if a carrier throws 50 loads up on a load board, they'll be filled faster than dealing with a broker. No, they don't. Cause if a carrier throws 50 loads up on a load board, guess what they are? They're a broker. Come on, bud. Use your head. He's like, okay, let's get rid of brokers, and give all the loads to carriers who will then post them up on the load board. That is what a broker does. A carrier can't do that unless they're a broker. But that's funny, though. Oh, man. I guess it's getting late already. It's 3:10. Laz said, you're dreaming. Perzmal on Facebook said, why is 2018 booming for trucking? The economy was that good for only 1 year. To be honest, I don't know why it was that good, to be honest. I don't know. It was just good, you know, as we all know. And I think 2021 may be a pretty good year, depending on how quickly we rebound from this. You know, I remember when this first started, or before COVID really was a big thing in the United States, I remember saying the end of April, early May, freight's going to be picking up. That's when I was starting to look at trucks. That's where I know a couple of you guys that regularly watch the show and listen to the podcast as well. had messaged me and said, hey, what do you think about buying these trucks or something? One person said, hey, I'm thinking about buying a 4-truck fleet. What do you think about it? And I'm like, you should hold on. Good thing I told that dude to hold on, because he would have been sitting on 4 trucks right now with a big note payment and had no and making no money. John Davis on Facebook said, or Davis John, I'm saying it backwards, on Facebook said, Chanley, nope, with the broker, you say, here you go, 50 loads, and then let them handle the mess. It's because carriers don't understand what a broker does. That's the truth about it. And I'm not saying it to be mean to carriers, because clearly I'm not. But carriers don't understand what a broker does. And so by saying a carrier can just quickly throw 50 loads on, a carrier's going to take them really quick, it doesn't actually work that way. There's a tremendous amount of paperwork that has to be done for every single load on the back end. It's just people don't understand it. It's just crazy. Jimmy Bryant said, that company is Rock Farm, and we operate at 10% for full transportation manager for our clients. Oh, so you do that too. Yeah, there's a couple. That company isn't Rock Farm. The company is a big broker, and I know who it is. I'm just not giving a shout-out to them. But they do it. Some of the better loads that I moved as a carrier were through their internally sourced, through their logistics department that they essentially had at this warehouse facility. And it's a really great concept if you think about it, because you could inflate a margin a little bit. You know, you could charge, 13% of freight, as long as you keep under goals or something like that. And you set goals, and you have the potential to make quite a bit of money. It's a good idea. Mead Swingley said, my buddy out of Pennsylvania with a Conestoga trailer deadheaded from California to Indiana and still made more than waiting for a load in California. So sad. Oh, geez. I don't know how you make any money deadheading, but I got you. Laszlo said, Chandler would totally be in the weeds if he was ever handed 50 loads at once to cover. I'd sit back and just observe as he swirls around and around before he goes down the drain. And again, I can't fault him. If you don't understand the industry fully, and I'm not trying to say it to be mean, but that's a disconnect between the industry. And there's a lot of people that have that same mindset that are like, if this broker can do it, then I certainly can, or make the statement that, hey, carriers would book loads quicker than you're not a carrier. If you're booking loads, you're a broker. So it kind of, you become Landstar. So, and everybody hates Landstar anyway for the double broker stuff, but that's what you become. A carrier can't do it. Roman Britschka said, you explained full service broker. Can I explain what that services are included? Everything. So everything that a logistics manager does. So you work with your TMS and their rotation management software. You keep things under budget. So they have a budget that they work with. You have to keep things under budget, and that's typically where the profits bet off. A lot of the paperwork, so when carriers are sending paperwork, or brokers, whoever you work with, those people are sending paperwork into the internal logistics department. You are sorting and putting them through to accounting. You essentially act like an employee in their office, but you're not. You work for the logistics department. It's a very easy approach, to be honest, because I know I could go, well, maybe not right now, but I know when freight picks up and all that stuff, I could go out and become an internal broker for someone where I work in their office every day and I'm just like a member of their team, except I'm commission only, essentially, is what it is. And then you just work through, you just make a percentage of the income. It would be like me if I go to my biggest customer and I do what I do there and the job of the guy who gives me the loads every single day. So I do both of those jobs, which I could easily do. But I would do both of those jobs and they save money on payroll typically, unless you're really, really good at it, the savings, the only guarantee and the only reason why brokers are apt to do that, besides making a little bit more money, is the fact that they essentially lock down that client, because nobody else is going to go, because nobody else is going to come in and say, well, listen, I'll run your entire logistics department through and through. Not a lot of people do that. It's a very good process. It's a very interesting one when you really think about it. Guys, with that said, it's 3:15. I think I'm going to wrap this sucker up. Make sure you check out freightbrokerlive.com, which is my website. I'll put it up on the screen again so you guys can see it. It's got all sorts of news articles. Please, again, I'm going to leave this article. This is the main article that I talked about Brown Dog Trucking. They're out of Maine. They're doing all the helping paw, basically delivering stuff for free as part of this release or relief efforts. Please share this article out. These guys are good guys, and this is the kind of news story that I want to promote. I want to promote good, you know, helpful things to the industry, not negative layoffs and closures and all that. This is the kind of stuff I want to promote. So go over to freightbrokerlive.com. If you're looking to get in touch with Ascend TMS, you can click on this ad. It'll bring you to their website, which you could sign up for. Like you said, anyone who signs up for Ascend in the next 24 hours will be able to get all their shippers, 26,000, I think you said, shipper leads that are built in into the system. They'll turn it on so you have access to it. Trust me when I say it, because I can't say it. That software is probably the most complete transportation management software that you'll find out there for the price. It literally is. It does nearly everything that I could ever imagine a software would do. And here's the kicker. If I was big enough and I went to them and I said, hey, listen, I want to use your software and this is what I need, you know, that your software doesn't do, which I can't think of off the top of my head, they would do it. As you just heard Tim say, that's the way they built out their software. They have a tremendous amount of users and a very, very good reputation. You're not going to find people that badmouth them because they're fair, you know? So make sure you check them out. Make sure you check out my website. If you're watching this as a podcast later or listening to it as a podcast later, please leave a review on iTunes or Google Play or something like that, because that also helps with rating the podcast. I think we're ranked number 40-ish in business news. But yeah, David Quackelbaum said he has to listen to again. He's been on the phone with a driver for 45 minutes. That's true. Edward said, what's a fair commission to offer an agent? It depends on what the agent's experience is. If they're a brand new agent, 5%. You know, if they have no experience, nothing. No, it all depends. You know, some people pay 50, some people pay 40, some people pay 90. It all depends on what the experience is. Guys, take care. You're fun. It's fun. See you later. Oh, I pressed the wrong button.